Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we are spiraling into the holidays now. The
free fall.
The free fall. Yeah, the way I like to think of it, we're done with Halloween, the sort of fantastic appreciation.
Mm-hmm. The culmination of the year's wonderful events wrought in horror.
Right.
Yeah.
But now we leave those imagined horrors behind and we get into the true horrors of the holidays.
I know, and now I'm just imagining like a Hitchcockian Vertigo thing with all of us falling into this spiral of Thanksgiving and then the winter holidays and then winter really setting into our bones.
It can be a very difficult time, I find. You know, especially the sort of modern pop culture-y version of the holidays that we have here in the West with Thanksgiving and Christmas and what have you as well. Because you're constantly bombarded with these idealized images of what it should be, of this, this Norman Rockwell family sitting around Thanksgiving dinner, these, the old timey Christmas images of people, mm-hmm. Gathered around the fireplace on Christmas Eve, all that kind of stuff. So you're having to deal with these visions that don't really match up with reality all that much. And then you're also dealing with all the added complexities of your life, the social dynamics of your family. And, meanwhile, the world is growing darker. The world is growing colder. and I think, tapping into some of those primordial, fears, will the sun come back? Will warm times and harvest return to us? Or is this, the eternal night?
Will that Thanksgiving turkey ever be done?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this, the family dynamics on a typical American Thanksgiving celebration. Because again, you brought up Rockwell, and there's this idea mm-hmm. of the gathering and everybody gathering at the table and breaking bread. And then I thought, what does that really look like? And this is definitely a generalization, what I'm about to say. But I thought, what's pretty typical is that you have a mom or some other matriarchal member of the family slaving away in the kitchen, elbows up to like turkey guts and stuffing and a little bitter about it, right?
Yeah.
And then in the other room, you might have a dad or a patriarchal figure sitting, in the chair with the football game on
mm-hmm.
and all the other kids or, you know, other family members gathered around all watching football in silence. And that's, you know, that's kind of a sort of a typical thing. Again, this is the generalization and not every family is like that, but it doesn't ring like this warm family gathering. It feels more like this sort of forced, okay, we're all going to sit together and observe a holiday.
Yeah.
And that is when you get to have those family dynamics sort of hanging above the Thanksgiving table like a thick fog, because, you know, within that you have all of the roles of the past that we've played. You have certain aggressions in the family being mm-hmm. played out sometimes. And it can be a really stressful holiday for people in that way.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, I mean, we're all completely changing over time. So you have these families getting back together. Not everyone is at the same place they used to be in there. Mm-hmm. And also you find yourself falling back into former modes of behavior and being. I've talked with friends about this before, talking about like how long is an optimal visit, especially around siblings.
Yeah.
Because it seems like day one and day two are great because you're still your outside, your grown up self. But if you're around your siblings too much, then you start falling into old sibling modes, which can be a little stressful.
I agree. And someone told me this the other day. They said, if you think that you have achieved Zen, just mm-hmm. get around your family for a weekend and see if you've really achieved Zen. Because as you say, even though you have your grown-up self and you have faced challenges on your own and you've grown, it's really easy to fall into these family roles, especially if there's a dysfunctional element to the family.
Indeed. And, you know, I think there's often a bit of dysfunction, at least in any kind of family unit. It's kind mm-hmm. of inevitable. There are a number of moving parts. And as this machine has to churn on, over the years, over decades, they're going to get some kinks in the machinery. And that's just part of living.
Yeah. And cause you have to think about a family as like sort of a living, breathing thing that's mm-hmm. ebbing and flowing and changing. The dynamics are changing based on life events and challenges in that family. And this is from Lisa Miles writing for Psych Central. She says, conflict, neglect, abuse of all sorts, shame, conditional love, faulty disciplinary styles, gender prejudice, sexuality intolerance, denial of feelings and family facts, which is interesting, emotional dysregulation, rampant anxiety, and much more are ever present in such families. As she just described, pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Populating the earth, I think so.
Yeah, and I mean, and on top of that, you do have all these great memories as well. Perhaps, you know, you may have you have these things that are tying you all together beyond just blood or living arrangements or shared histories.
Yeah.
It becomes a very just complicated dynamic that does not match up with that Norman Rockwell painting. That is not what he painted or was on the cover of a magazine. This is real life, and there are so many moving parts to it.
Yeah, which leads adult children of dysfunctional families to assume one of several roles at the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, now this was an interesting reading about this. I think the it ranges from 4 to 6 tend to be the given roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's fighter, thief, wizard. I'm sorry, that's Dungeons and Dragons.
I wish.
Now the first one we'll mention here. The rebel. And, if you cannot identify the rebel in your own family environment or in mm-hmm. those of friends, then you've definitely seen it in the media or you've read it in a novel. This is the, generally the kid who's always out there getting into trouble, getting into some sort of mischief, and also often serving as a scapegoat, for other members of the family unit. So that not only is their, misbehavior, a self-expression, they become this mechanism that other members of the family turn to divert attention, to divert blame, etc.
Yeah, it's kind of the Lindsay Lohan of the family, the Lilo, right? and that's where it's problematic is the scapegoat part, because any of the core problems tend to get glossed over because everybody's looking at the kid who mm-hmm. wants some sort of attention, you know, even if it's negative attention. And then you have something, which I sometimes think is the rebel bleeds into this, the mascot or the clown. And that's the kid who is using comedy to help alleviate tensions. And of course, the problem with that is that if you're always playing the clown, then you're not really, observing your own true feelings or allowing those feelings to be shown, or even really allowing those tensions to play out because you're too busy trying to cover it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is an interesting one to think about, because I often find myself acting like the mascot in various environments where, you know, I'm going to turn to a joke or some sort of, you know, whimsical observation, something of that nature. And at the time, it will often seem like the thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess I'm kind of a generally a conflict avoidant person, so.
Right. And it's an easy thing to get to. The problem is that when it goes on and on and on, then you get to, you have these sort of recursive behavioral traits that play out later when you're really having to deal or grapple with some difficult topics, you know, trying to drill down to your real feelings.
So it often comes down to, am I playing the long game or the short game in terms of my Thanksgiving? Which can be difficult because, you know, we're talking about even the title of this podcast, Surviving Thanksgiving. It brings to mind just the idea of, all right, how can I make it through this Thanksgiving, encounter with everyone and have a positive story at the end of it, avoid any pitfalls, and just optimize my Thanksgiving. And you're generally thinking about that one Thanksgiving at a time. If you were planning like three Thanksgivings ahead, I would love to meet you because you sound like a strange and fascinating person.
Yeah, the rest of us might be a little bit overwhelmed by that. And we will talk about some coping mechanisms and behaviors in a moment. But let's get through a couple more of these roles.
Yeah, so far we have the rebel and the mascot.
Yeah, and of course then you have the good kid or the hero. And that is the kid who's trying to fix the family, who often assumes the parental role. And at some point I think all of us do assume the parental role with our parents just by virtue of your parents getting older and you taking on more responsibility. But we're talking about kids who become the responsible ones of the family because there just isn't that support level from the parents.
Right. Or, you know, sometimes it's they have to jump in when it's just something out of the parents' sphere of influence or, you know, it's a difficult time. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, one thing to keep in mind with these is that you know, one person is not necessarily stuck with that that role throughout their life or throughout the, even a single Thanksgiving weekend, it might change, I imagine.
Although I will say, once family dynamics are set, we tend to fall into those roles.
Yeah.
But you're right. Sometimes kids can change those roles, and even in a meaningful and thoughtful way, as opposed to just relying on habit of behavior.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Now, another role is the lost or the invisible child. And we're talking about the kid who retreats to the shadows to avoid conflict and ends up having a hard time connecting on a personal level later on because he or she is, again, trying to get away from the situation and not confront the feelings or the people surrounding that situation.
The name on this one was a little misleading, I felt, because the lost child, it does bring to mind like a almost ghostly entity in the corner of the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
But it also involves just generally externalizing over internalizing. So it could also be the family member who, you know, who visits for Thanksgiving, but has to leave to go running and is doing their yoga and has also maybe brought their laptop with them to do a little work on the side. It's just, you know, busy, 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 whatever you can do to remain engaged in the external world as opposed to the internal world of reflection and remembering and actually thinking about what's going on with your Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, I think about it as the kid or the adult who used to be that kid who looks at maybe the rat's nest of the family dynamics and says, F that. I'm going over here to the corner to do the following thing. Now, a couple of other roles that come up are the caretaker. That's the person who may assume the emotional well-being for the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Or the mastermind. I thought this was interesting. This is the kid who might pounce on other family members' shortcomings to get what he or she wants. And oftentimes, parents will just appease the child because they're kind of a pain in the butt.
Hmm. Wow. So this really, we've really set everyone up for a frightening Thanksgiving. Because here we've talked about the complexities of the social dynamics and then these roles, which, you know, for the most part, I'm not sure anyone would want to take on the mantle of any of these roles because they all have at least a little negativity to them and certainly play a role in what could overall be seen as a dysfunctional dynamic.
And I think the key here is the awareness of the role. Do you play that role? How do you play that role? How do you subconsciously do it? Is there a way to be with your family and not fall into one of these roles, which usually is not helping the situation, you know? So that's why we bring up, because we thought, you know, what is it that we're all bringing with us to Thanksgiving besides our side dishes? And that is one of them, the roles that we play. Now, alcohol and aggression sometimes can play a role here at the table. There was a 2010 study carried out by researchers at the Swedish Institute for Social Research and the Norwegian Institute for Alcohol and Drug Research, and they looked at a loss of control and violence in conjunction with alcohol use. And this was based on surveys from nearly 3,000 adolescents and young adults in Norway. And among individuals who reported a high inclination to suppress feelings of anger, a 10% increase in drinking to the point of intoxication was associated with a 5% increase in violence. So the idea here is that those who held in their anger were more likely to get drunk, and that drunkenness was linked to an increase of the likelihood of getting into a brawl.
Yeah, I mean, think of it this way. in order to keep the locks on the anger, it takes a certain amount of mental energy. And then, when you drink a little bit too much, you are, the more you drink, you can think of it that way, you're softening those holds on the lock. And there is a monster behind those doors potentially. And do you really want that monster to burst free at Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, because we've talked about this before. Alcohol and loss of control in your prefrontal cortex, you know, the executive judgment there sort of saying, you know what, I think I'm going to take a nap here.
Yeah. Now, another study that looked into alcohol and aggression, was a 2011 study, and this was published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. It looked at 495 adults, average age of 23, who were social drinkers. They all completed the consideration of future consequences scale. So definitely one thing to keep in mind here is it's sort of thinking like, am I thinking about just this Thanksgiving or am I thinking beyond this Thanksgiving? Am I thinking even two or three Thanksgivings ahead?
Short term versus long term.
Exactly. And kind of setting ourselves up for disappointment because we've touched before on how we're notoriously bad at long term planning and appreciation of long term risks, et cetera. So they all took this, they all completed this scale, and they indicated how much they agreed with statements like, I only act to satisfy immediate concerns, figuring the future will take care of itself. And then they engaged in a fake shot game. Basically, they were told that they were, you know, pressing this button, and somebody else is pressing a button, and the loser is getting an electric shock. Which, again, is playing into some, you know, past experiments of sort of just how much of a jerk can you be? How cruel can you be? How aggressive you can be towards another person, even if you can't see them? So they said the less people thought about the future, the more likely they were to retaliate. But especially when they were drunk, people who were present focused and drunk shocked their opponents longer and harder than anyone else in the study. They said alcohol didn't have much effect on the aggressiveness of people who were future focused. So basically the take home here is that drinking enough alcohol to become intoxicated increases aggression significantly in people who lack one particular personality trait. In other words, it has a myopic effect on people. It narrows your attention to what's important to you right now.
So if you're not someone who deals with the long term,
right,
in general, and it's just always living for the present,
yeah,
which we've talked about as a marker of addictive personalities anyway,
yeah,
then you're going to fall prey to this and probably be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, one way to think of it, one possibility is if your Thanksgiving holiday tends to involve some sort of navigating of political waters.
Oh.
Say you have an uncle who is just, you know, he's going to mention the most recent election,
right,
and the current political climate. He's going to bring something up that could potentially push your buttons. Well, based on the findings in this study, you know, it could potentially be a very bad idea to have had alcohol, because then you're going to be even more likely to take that bait and fall for that bait and then get into an argument that you don't really want to begin with. You know, what's the point of the argument?
Yeah, I have.
You're going to win your uncle over? No, you're just going to, it's just going to make it uncomfortable for everybody.
I have a family member, a male who's older, who turns into Ann Coulter after a couple of drinks, and it's just not pleasant, which brings up this idea of the spiral of silence, because we talked about this before, is that a lot of times if someone is very boisterous and they're voicing their opinion and they seem to be the majority of the group, those with minority opinions will recede to the shadows because they don't want to be ostracized. And we have a whole episode on that. So I was thinking about that in terms of Thanksgiving and this idea of suppressing your anger and having alcohol and maybe not feeling as though you have a voice in the matter. And it sort of compounds the entire situation.
All right. Well, we're going to have an uncomfortable silence and then we're going to have a break. And when we come back, we are going to roll out some suggestions, some ways to deal with whatever kind of challenges your holiday encounters may provide you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, we're back. So as you're listening to this, perhaps you're even in the car and you're driving to your Thanksgiving encounter or some other holiday encounter, some other kind of family get-together. You may be wondering, well, we've talked about all these dangers and pitfalls, but what can I do aside from maybe, you know, reevaluate my consumption of alcohol at this year's festivities?
You can do something that is so elegantly simple and yet so hard to pull off.
Yeah, go to Disneyland instead.
That is sort of simple in concept, right? But there are some moving parts to that.
Yeah, stay the course. Okay.
I'm thinking more of gratitude.
Ah, well, it's Thanksgiving, right? That's the supposedly the whole point.
Right.
Be thankful for what you have and what, you know, be thankful for the people in your life, even if they annoy you sometimes, even if you don't necessarily see the eye to eye and everything. Focus on what you should be grateful for.
Be thankful for the bounty on the table.
Right.
So on and so forth. So yeah, it turns out that this is actually sort of the panacea. This is the shot in the arm that we all need to get through Thanksgiving. And gratitude is important. We've heard a lot about it, I feel like, in popular culture over the last 5 years or so. And it's a part of positive psychology. And John Tierney, writing for the New York Times, describes it this way. He says cultivating an attitude of gratitude has been linked to better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life, and kinder behavior toward others, including romantic partners. Hmm. It's all win-win stuff, right?
Yeah. Now, one caveat there, though, is don't confuse gratitude with indebtedness. Like, don't take gratitude and then twist it into some sort of a tool or weapon to use against others. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Well, to me, that falls in the category of integrity, right?
Yeah.
You don't do something to be recognized for it. If you're doing an act of integrity, it's something that's the right thing to do.
Right.
Right. Maybe someone doesn't even know that it happened. And so gratitude is the same in that respect, where you're just trying to be a good, kind person and mm-hmm. be appreciative for the things in front of you, the things that you can count as really enriching your life. So the question is, like, to what degree does this actually impact your experience around something like a holiday, like Thanksgiving?
So indeed, okay, this cultivated attitude of gratitude, how's it going to help when the uncle starts into a political tirade?
Well, here's a little story about how if you don't cultivate it, you're going to be in big trouble. And this is from the Journal of Positive Psychology. There's a paper by Allen et al. That was published in Volume 8, Issue 2 in 2013. What they did is they followed 172 college students for 3 weeks around Thanksgiving. They tracked gratitude, positive effect, and life satisfaction through these diary-style entries. And researchers saw a significant bump in both gratitude and positive effect on Thanksgiving. For that one day, people were more thankful and felt more positive overall. But of course, they took those results, but they did some math here. And the authors found, not surprisingly, that the relationship between Thanksgiving and life satisfaction varied by participant. They also found that when daily fluctuations in gratitude were controlled for daily life satisfaction and positive effect were actually lower during the holidays. So what is this telling us? This is telling us that people who were more grateful on Thanksgiving were likely to have experienced increased well-being over the holiday. Conversely, those who were less grateful felt a sense of less well-being and a sense of meaninglessness. Hmm. So, again, we're talking here about the negative effects of Thanksgiving being counteractive by actually being grateful and engaging in acts of gratitude. All right, that's all well and fine because, okay, you can be grateful on Thanksgiving and get through it, but how do you actually do that? And according to Sonia Lubomirsky of the University of California, Riverside, she says, do one small and unobtrusive, thoughtful, or generous thing for each member of your family on Thanksgiving. She says, say thank you for every thoughtful or kind gesture. Express your admiration for someone's skills or talents, wielding that kitchen knife so masterfully. For example, and she says to truly listen, even when your grandfather is boring you again with the same World War II story. And another way that this becomes really helpful, gratitude, is that it turns out to really shield you against any negative overtures or any sort of criticism that might be levied at you. And in Nathan DeWall's 2011 study, quote, a grateful heart is a nonviolent heart.
Mm-hmm.
He had students at the University of Kentucky write essays. So no big whoop, right?
Right.
Except when they turned in the essays, some of the essayists had like terrible, scathing things said to them about their essays. Like, this is a pile of junk. Okay. Now, you had mentioned before that, you know, this is a big trope in these sorts of studies where someone feels like violated and they get to exact revenge.
Right.
In this instance, those students would play a game against the person who criticized them. And they were able to blast this really, really loud white noise at them if they won. And it turns out, that, of course, that the people who were criticized would blast that noise. But those who were instructed to write essays about something that they were grateful for were less likely to blast that white noise and try to exact revenge. And again, this is brought up because that puts you at an advantage in your psyche if you feel grateful for something. You feel less angry about stuff or less reactive. And this is one of the lessons that comes up when you're talking about getting together with family and you settle into those well-worn roles in which, you know, your sibling or some other family member can say something to you and push that button that drives you nuts.
What I like about this is that it almost sounds like a very Machiavellian form of gratitude, you know, like it seems like a strategy that would be rolled out on Game of Thrones when they all get together for some sort of imaginary Thanksgiving dinner, like political movements. How can I guard myself against the attacks of my enemies while engaging them in this loving holiday?
Right. It may feel, as you say, very Machiavellian, very sort of strategic and planned. But as we have talked about before, when you fake it, sometimes you make it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're extending a bit of kindness, sometimes you actually are like, hey, look at me, I'm being kind.
Well, I wonder too, is it possible to overdo it to the point where then your family members like wonder what medication you're on or if you are perhaps dying? You know, like it seems like you run the risk of laying it on too thick. But I guess if you're called on it, you can just say, hey, I'm just getting into the spirit of the holiday, man.
There you go.
Don't bust my chops.
Yeah, you're like, hey, man, I'm just trying to change the dynamic of this family into a more positive one.
Oh, and then you become the good girl or boy, the good kid, trying to pull everyone back together.
Or the caretaker.
Yeah, or the caretaker. Yeah.
Now, John Tierney, writing for the New York Times, says you could always practice the it could always be worse tactic. And he says, when your relatives force you to look at photos on their phones, be thankful they no longer have access to a slide projector. When your aunt expounds on politics, rejoice inwardly that she does not hold elected office. Instead of focusing on the dry, tasteless turkey on your plate, be grateful the 6-hour roasting process killed any toxic bacteria. I like that.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's an uplifting way to look at it. Just remember that it could always be worse. It could always be infinitely worse. There may be no limit to how bad it could be. So
yeah, you just have to kind of meditate on that.
Yeah, just think of the worst image that could possibly occupy your mind and whatever your current situation is, it couldn't be that bad.
And if you want to continue to be benignly Machiavellian, mm-hmm. you could try to actually manipulate the environment too.
Oh, okay.
Hack into a little nostalgia of the people who are attending this Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes. Nostalgia. We've discussed this before. We did a whole episode on it. Nostalgia, of course, is a very bittersweet element to employ. You know, we've all engaged with it. Sometimes we seek it out over and over again because it takes us back to the past in a way that's comforting and yet also, just, we can't touch it. You know, it's gone to us. You know, it's like that moment where you're like with me, I'm like sitting there, I'm watching an old film board of Canada animated short with my son, and like nothing could feel nicer, and yet it's also depressing at the same time.
It can be, but in studies, and we covered this in that nostalgia episode, I believe there were instances in which people were in cold environments, mm-hmm. and then they would think about some sort of nostalgic thought and actually feel warmer.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's really powerful.
Yeah,
in that
and
way.
I think the net benefit is positive, but it's a complex cocktail.
Yeah.
To imbue.
So take care when you're hacking into nostalgia. I think is what we're saying.
Yeah. Now, how do you hack into nostalgia? Well, obviously, anytime you're getting together for some sort of a family event like this, especially you know Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and all these events, there's a lot of ritual in them. There's a lot of repetition, and I've seen it put before that. The repetition and memory are basically the same movement. One reaches backwards in time and the other reaches into the future. So there are lots of things to be nostalgic about. We've touched on some of these before. It might be just be as simple as that football game in the living room. Maybe you're nostalgic about rooting on a certain team or watching a certain sporting event. It's all the food items that are that end up getting cooked up in the kitchen. It's the smell of those food items, those recipes. It's the decorations that are hauled out year after year. Maybe it's a particular board game you always play. There we have these rituals that we engage in often year after year after year, often generation after generation even.
Yeah, I have to say that when we have family get-togethers, I put together a playlist that I know touches on everyone's sort of favorite music. And that way everyone is delighted at some point. And again, it brings up those feelings of nostalgia. And another thing that we tend to do, especially in Thanksgiving, is we make something called strawberry stickies, which in my husband's family, like folklore, like the in history are like this vaunted, like wonderful dessert.
Oh, well, what are they?
Basically, like chunks and chunks of butter that are melted with sugar, strawberry, and then pie crust all rolled together and cut up into these little strawberry stickies. But it doesn't matter what sort of mood anyone is in or if someone has ill will against us. If we bring the strawberry stickies, we tap into nostalgia and we're golden.
Okay. And then also by the mere act of bringing something too, you're also, you're sort of employing a bit of gratitude in there as well. It's a complicated weapon, a multifold weapon that you're employing against your enemies each year.
And yet a heart is pure when we are making the strawberry stickies, only trying to please others. And we talk like that while we're making it.
Okay. So you've talked about ways to hack into nostalgia with music, hack into nostalgia with food. I wonder if there are other ways that one might utilize a little nostalgia to their benefit.
I bet you guys listening have some ideas on this.
Yeah.
We need your information. We need your feedback here.
Yes, those Machiavellian holiday revelers out there, I'm sure you have some tricks up your sleeve, and we would be delighted to hear about them. All right, so let us know. But in the meantime, if you get a chance, maybe you're taking a breather from your holiday and you want to get on your phone or your computer or the family computer or what have you, go to stufftoblowyourmind.com because that's where you'll find all of our blog posts, all of our videos, and all of our podcast episodes going way back to the very beginning. Episodes you can't even find on iTunes anymore, you will find them at the website. And we'll make sure that there's some Thanksgiving-related material right there on the front page for you, past episodes that we've done on related topics as well.
And if you have some thoughts you'd like to share, you can do that by sending us an email to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.